Thank you, Sam. I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I have a Minnesota accent, as he said, so a little further south. I'd like to start today. Better put these glasses on. Can't hear, kind of blind. It's not good anymore. I want to start in the 13th chapter of Alma, page 384. And just going to read one verse there. And it is the 44th verse. And it came to pass that when Aaron saw that the king would believe his words, he began from the creation of Adam, reading the scripture unto the king, how God created man after his own image, and that God gave him commandments, that because of transgression man had fallen. And then I want you to go to page 371. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here. And it's going to start in verse 111, which is chapter 12 of Alma. And the king Lamoni said, I believe all these things which thou hast spoken. Art thou sent from God? Ammon said unto him, I am a man, and man in the beginning was created after the image of God. And I am called by his Holy Spirit to teach these things unto the people, that they may be brought to the knowledge of that which is just and true. And a portion of that Spirit dwelleth in me, which giveth me knowledge and also power according to my faith and desire which are in God. And now when Ammon had said these words, he began at the creation of the world and also the creation of Adam, and told him all the things concerning the fall of man. Now, do you think that was by accident that both these guys started back there at the creation? I don't think so. And the reason why I say that is because when you look at the basics, and so what is the basics? Let's go to Genesis, and I want to start in the first chapter. And I want you to think about this. The 26th verse, and this is about the creation of man. And I'm going to start here in the 26th. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and all every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Okay? I want you to think about that, those two verses. And the reason why I want you to think about those two verses, because I ask people all the time when we start there, I say, well, how was Eve created? I kind of look at me kind of dumb-like. So I want to go to the second chapter. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And then I want to go down to the fifth verse, and it says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. And then I'm going to skip a little bit, and it says, and there was not a man to till the ground. But yet he just created. I want you to go to the seventh verse. And it says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Isn't that interesting? And yet that Hebrew word for formed is totally different than that one for created. Create is bara, and formed is yatsar. So I want you to go to the fourth chapter of John. Verse 23, and it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So God is a spirit. We understand that. I want you to go to Jeremiah, the first chapter. Fifth verse. "Before I formed thee in the belly," there's that word formed, "I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." That's an interesting scripture. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God knew Jeremiah. God knew Jeremiah before he formed him. And that second part of that scripture is really interesting. "And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." He gave him his gifts before he came forth. Look, I believe that we get a package deal. We don't get to choose our weaknesses and our strengths, and yet they are so important. But we don't understand that spiritual side of things. I don't believe that we understand that we were created in that image of God, and yet it was perfect. But in the forming, we were given something else. I want you to think about something. If you had no weaknesses, no insufficiencies, when would you ever turn back to your God? I don't think you would. I don't think you would. You see, this is a way that God is able to pull us back. And I think it is very important. You know, but yet we ask ourselves, "No, Lord, why did you give me that weakness?" And you know, they're very telling about us. You know, when a trial comes in our lives, it should be really revealing to us. But most of the time, we're just looking at ourselves as though something horrible happened to us. But it reveals things about our character. It makes us look at ourselves, or it should. And even when we see other people that are in these crises, it reveals something about their character also. And yet, we miss those lessons for the most part. Those lessons, we don't think they come from God. I believe even Adam was shown those things in the beginning. That the weakness is, "Oh, well, I'll just go along with what the wife says." Do we not learn from those things? One of the best examples would be the Apostle Paul. On the way to Damascus, What did God change about him? I believe he closed his physical eyes and opens his spiritual ones. And if you're all of a sudden blind, what does that make you do? It makes you look at things differently. It wasn't by accident. It didn't change. God didn't change anything about the scriptures. And Paul thought that he was serving God. He was sincere about what he was doing. Until those spiritual eyes were opened. You know, I know of people that, you know, and they thought that what they were doing was the right thing, and then more things are revealed to them, because for the most part, this is just an opinion. That's all it is. With the information that you have, you make an informed decision with the information that you have. When you have more information, you make a different decision. That's all it is. You know, I've seen changes in the church over the time that I've been here. We've grown spiritually. You see, God, I think, wants us to know where we are spiritually. And that's why those trials and those issues come in our lives and even in our church. They make us examine ourselves, or they should make us examine ourselves. What manner of man are you? I want to go to page 376 in the Book of Mormon, and it's still 12th chapter of Alma. And it is verse 169 is where I'm going to start. And I'm going to go down to 180. So, and it came to pass that she went and took the queen by the hand, that perhaps she might raise her from the ground. Now this is the maid that was the queen's maid, that King Lamoni was in the spirit, right? And as soon as she touched her hand, she arose and stood upon her feet and cried with a loud voice, saying, "O blessed Jesus, who has saved me from an awful hell. O blessed God, have mercy upon this people." And when she had said this, she clapped her hands, being filled with joy and speaking many words which were not understood. And when she had done this, she took the king Lamoni by the hand, and behold, he rose and stood upon his feet. And he immediately, seeing the contention among the people, went forth and began to rebuke them and to teach them the words which he had heard from the mouth of Ammon. And as many as heard these words believed and were converted unto the Lord. But there were many among them who would not hear his words, therefore they went their way. And it came to pass that when Ammon arose, he also administered unto them, and also did all the servants of Lamoni. And they did all declare unto the people the selfsame thing, that their hearts had been changed, that they had no more desire to do evil. And behold, many did declare unto the people that they had seen angels and had conversed with them. And thus they had told them things of God and of his righteousness. And it came to pass that there were many that did believe in their words, and as many as did believe were baptized, and they became a righteous people, and they did establish a church among them. And thus the work of the Lord did commence among the Lamanites. Thus the Lord did begin to pour out his spirit upon them. Can you imagine what they see? Can you imagine what they see? Do you desire these things? I hope so. You know, there's, and I want to, I mean, it says it all. But I want to go to page 315. It's the third chapter of Alma, 27th through the 32nd, and you know the scripture. And now, behold, I ask of you, you my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have you received his image in your countenance? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? It's that spiritual creation. Spiritually born. And you know, for the most part, I think we fight this. We don't understand the spiritual side, so we just ignore it. I envy. You see, I wasn't raised in the church. I wasn't raised in any church. And when God poured out his spirit upon me, it changed me. And it wasn't even in this church. It made me look at myself. There was a crisis going on in my life. It made me look at myself. I want to go to Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start in the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's not a very good thing. If we're in the flesh, we can't please God. This battle is won or lost in our minds. And it also tells me that the physical is not where I'm supposed to be. What did the Nephites want before Christ left? More than anything else. And I'm going to go to 3 Nephi, page 655. And it's the 10th verse, 9th chapter, and it says this. And when they had administered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus, that they did pray for that which they most desired. And they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. Do we pray for that? Do we pray for that? I hope so. But yet, if you go to the 4th book of Nephi, let's see. And it's page 683. And it's the first chapter. I think there's only one chapter anyway. 17 through 19. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envying, no strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. But that's not the end, is it? If you go a little further, and it's only a couple pages further, we find the end of that. And it is, I want to start in that 27th verse. And now, in this 201st year, there began to be among them those who were lifted up in pride, such as the wearing of costly apparel and all manner of fine pearls and of fine things of the world. And from that time forth they did have their goods, and their substance no more common among them. And they began to be divided into classes, and they began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain, and began to deny the true church. Verse 42. And it came to pass that they who rejected the gospel were called Lamanites and Lemuelites and Ishmaelites. And they did not dwindle in unbelief, but they did willfully rebel against the gospel of Christ. Willfully rebel. Now, what was it that they wanted? First, the thing that they desired, they wanted the Holy Ghost. And yet, when you willfully rebel, what's the first thing that's taken from you? Bingo. They didn't dwindle in unbelief, but they willfully rebelled. You know, I think, you know, we're not too far from that ourselves. You see, there's steps that we take to kind of disassociate ourselves with God. And when you willfully rebel, I know what it says. You know, what's the difference between sin and iniquity? Sin, missing the mark. Iniquity, I know what it says, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's willfully rebelling. You know, it has to change who we are. It truly does. It has to change who we are. And they were exceedingly rich. because of their prosperity in Christ. Look, I must be doing okay. The Lord is blessing me. How many times do you hear that? We measure success by the things that we own. Because that's how the world does. So it must be right. That's not necessarily true. And where did those blessings come from? You see, when things go wrong, what do? First thing we do is we pray and we say, Lord, can you fix this? He said, yeah, I can fix it, but I'm not going to. And so we say, well, why not? I'm one of yours. If you look in Luke, you know, there's several scriptures in there that tell us. Not all those that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oops. You see, those things bring us back to God. You know, those weaknesses that we have, we look at them as a defect. How, Lord, you make me defective. I don't think that's the way it is. They reveal a lot about us. Whether we blame someone else, whether we take responsibility, whether we lie about those things, to just slant it a little bit different way so we don't get in trouble, whatever. Try not to do that. That's a really difficult thing to do. Because no one likes to think that they mess up. But in those things, God wants us to see ourselves, to look at ourselves, to look inside. Most of us, it's not that way. We say, oh, that's okay. I won't make that mistake again. Without truly looking at ourselves. I want you to ask yourselves a question. And this was King David. Now, King David was a man after God's own heart, was he not? And so when God made David king, you think God did not know that he was going to take Bathsheba? Of course he did. And we all know the story. And he said, you could have anyone. And I'm not going to go through it because I don't think we have the time. And yet David, through deceit, tried to cover it up. And finally that didn't work. So he had him basically killed to cover it up. Now David would lose thousands of men in a day in those battles, right? What's one more? And David and God knew this before David became king. So you ask yourself, why would God make David king? Because Uriah was more righteous than David, and yet he died. And God allowed it. You see, I think that he wanted to reveal something to David about his character. You think about it. He thought he was exempt. How many of us think that we're exempt because we have this relationship with Christ? Makes us more responsible. And yet, I think in many instances, we don't look at it like that. Oh, a little sin here. 12th chapter of 2 Nephi tells us really good. A little sin here. God will allow these things. Have we changed our lives enough to where we are obedient to that letter? And for myself, I can say no. You know, I'm looking at myself more than I'm looking at anyone else. But this is what it's going to take. David was not exempt from the commandments of God. If you were king, everyone's life is in your hands. Right? And I'm so thankful that my king, my life is in his hands. I want you to think about that. And until we put that trust and live for him, and desire to be those spiritual beings, having that Holy Ghost like the Nephites wanted, I believe that we will struggle with weaknesses. And these struggles are very important. Even the issues that we have in the church, they tell us a lot about ourselves. My brother Stephen, he took my place last Sunday, and preached, and I thought I'd got off the hook for not preaching, but until Roland called. He said that there was like one little personage on one side and one on the other, and I want you to go to 2 Kings. Hopefully I'll find it real quick. And it is the 6th chapter, I believe. I just want you to consider this, that this battle goes on around us. And I desire for each and every one of you that you have those spiritual gifts. But I want to start in the 15th verse of that 6th chapter, and it says, and I'm going to go down a little ways. I'll start in the beginning of it. 15, 16, and 17, I think is. And when the servants of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I want you to think about that. That battle does go on. But if you're doing everything like the Nephites originally, you have that. Because that battle is going to go on regardless of what we do. But understand it and know what it is. And so with that, I thank you for your time. And I pray that you receive something out of this message. May God bless you. I appreciate this time. Thank you. Bye.